A recent census by the American Society of Newspaper Editors found that minority representation in newsrooms rose slightly in 2013, a positive trend in an otherwise downward spiral of employment in the print journalism industry. We're going to talk about obstacles still impeding newsroom diversity and why this is an important issue. My guest is Hemet Shaw, a journalism professor and current director of the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Professor Shaw, good morning and welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Good morning. Thanks.
So the report from the American Society of Newspaper Editors says that diversity at newspapers rose to 13.34% in 2013, which is up about 1% from the previous year. But given the fact that diversity in the U.S. population stands closer to 37%, we've still got a pretty big gap there. In terms of the numbers, what do you make of these?
Well, it's a good thing, right? It's a 1% increase. It represents around 200 additional minority journalists in the industry. The thing to keep track of is this a blip or is this going to be a trend? I mean, as you mentioned, the last few years there's been a slight downtick in the number of minorities at newspapers. So that'll be important. If it's a trend and there's a continuing rise of minority reporters at newspapers, I think that'll be a good thing, and it might result in some changes in the actual content that newspapers produce.
Well, industry-wide, employment overall, not just minorities, employment overall is kind of is decreasing, isn't it? We've got newspapers quitting business or merging with other papers. Mm-hmm. Newsrooms are shrinking.
Yeah, no, that's true. The overall workforce is declining. I think the baseline for this last survey was something like 37,000 journalists in the workforce. Just 10 years ago, it was at probably, like, I think it was 45,000. So, yeah, there's a definite decrease in the workforce itself. So it's not surprising that the number of minorities fell during that time. But so, again, that's another reason why this uptick is a good sign.
And why is this an issue that we should be paying attention to? Why is this important?
Well, a couple things. One, it's a moral imperative in some sense that we diversify our workplaces. Apart from what it might mean for the quality of the news, I think it's just an important sign that major institutions in our society value diversity. And historically, you know, the ASNE didn't really start this effort until 1978, in the year that they established what they called Equivalency 2000, which was the goal of ethnic and racial parity. In other words, demographics in the newsroom should reflect the demographics of the communities that the newspapers serve. And so all this time has gone by, and that goal in 2000 obviously wasn't reached, and then in 1998 they established Equivalency 2025, again with the same kind of goal. So they recognize, the organization has recognized this moral imperative of diversifying the workplace. Another important reason is that there is probably a good chance that if you diversify your newsroom, you get better journalism because more perspectives are included, more backgrounds, people with different backgrounds, they bring different perspectives, they may bring some wisdom to the news making decisions in the newsroom. Now, the thing about that second point is that the research is not completely clear whether there's a direct correlation between diversifying the newsroom and improving the quality of the news. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, why isn't it enough to have white journalists work harder at covering communities of color?
Well, that's an option, and at many newspapers in the country today, that is what's going on. If you look at break down the numbers in the ASNE surveys, What you find is that most of the employment of minority journalists is happening at larger newspapers, those newspapers over 100,000 in circulation. At mid-sized newspapers, small newspapers, it's practically an all-white newsroom. So what you're asking is why not ask the newsrooms themselves as a ethical imperative to do better journalism? And I think that is part of the solution to better quality reporting, especially of news about race and ethnicity. But it's not happening across the board.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment from Peter on Facebook who says, I don't care about the race or gender of the journalist who writes the newspaper article I read, mm-hmm. as long as the article is accurate and well written. Now, it is true that the media discriminates a great deal, so it is plausible that they also discriminate on the basis of race and gender, and to whatever extent that happens, it should stop. But what Peter mainly cares about is that the reports that he reads in the paper are accurate and well written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true. I think anyone, any well-trained reporter of whatever race or ethnic background, can write high quality reports, produce high quality journalism. And as readers, we often don't know the race or gender of the reporter. We just don't. The idea is that if you diversify your newsroom, you bring more perspectives, you bring more background, you bring more wisdom to the decision making process, to the decisions that get made in terms of what is news, who gets covered, who gets quoted. And if you have a diverse newsroom, the quality of the news you read will be better, at least in theory. It will be better. It will be more accurate. It will be more relevant. It will be more interesting. It'll be richer. So, Peter is right that race and ethnicity may not make a huge difference, but I think the research is showing that if you diversify the newsroom, you get better reporting at the back end.
Peter, thanks for that comment. You can join us on Facebook as well. Look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can leave your comment or question there. And by the way, you can also call us, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. Email is also a good way to get in touch, talk@wpr.org. Now, I mentioned earlier that in terms of the U.S. population, if we look at it in terms of diversity, it's closer to 37%. We said that the 2013 survey showed 13.34% diversity in newspaper newsrooms. Why is it so hard for newsrooms to get closer to that 37% that would actually reflect what the general population is? It's been a goal, but what are some of the barriers there that prevent this from happening?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think part of it is that the pool of folks who are people of color who are interested in journalism is not as large as one might hope. I think that's part of the problem. Another part of the problem is that when minority reporters are getting into the journalism workforce, they are gravitating towards larger papers. So you have that kind of concentration there. And then another issue is retention. Sometimes it's difficult to retain the very best qualified reporters of color because they find other professions, better paying professions sometimes. And so those are some of the issues. Then there's issues within the newsroom itself. There's a glass ceiling. There's a lack of opportunity to advance sometimes. There are very few journalists of color in management positions, so you may not see, if I'm a young reporter of color, I may not see any role models. And then there's the question of racism even within the newsroom itself. Excuse me. Sometimes there are decisions made of assigning reporters to certain beats, there's been surveys and interviews done with reporters of color who say that they're constantly assigned certain types of stories And not stories across the board. Sometimes they have to work twice as hard. Their work is scrutinized more than other reporters. So for all those kind of reasons, it's difficult to not only recruit, but then retain the reporters themselves. And I think those kinds of issues are being addressed by ASNE and other groups, but it's still obviously the numbers are showing a kind of a difficult proposition.
Well, you alluded to this just a moment ago, but I wanted to follow up. In addition, we talked about overall employment numbers and a 13.34% diversity rate. 15% of participating newspapers said that one of their top three editors was a person of color. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any previous data to compare this to. This was apparently the first time this was measured. Mm-hmm. Does that one of 15% of the papers participating in the survey said one of their top three editors was a person of color? Does this number sound high enough to you? And why does it matter?
Yeah, it sounds plausible. I mean, I haven't looked into the numbers very deeply, but that sounds plausible. I mean, I think those newspapers are probably the larger newspapers in large metropolitan areas, more than likely. Then the reason it's important to have people of color in management editorial type of positions is that that's where the decisions get made about what stories to cover. Decisions about, you know, what topics are of importance, decisions about who to contact for stories, and just an overall sort of organizational culture is established by people at the top. And I think this has been one of the problems, as I mentioned earlier, was that the percentage of minorities in decision-making positions is even smaller than the 13.34 that we have for the last survey. So there's a lack of diverse viewpoints at that level, and that often translates into problems of coverage. So that's why it's important to have the management level also as to diversify that level as well.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more with Professor Shaw and with you if you care to join us by phone at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org or find the Joy Cardane Show Facebook page and leave a comment or question there. We're talking about diversity in the newspaper newsrooms. A new census says it's up slightly, 1% from last year to this. Whether that's an aberration or a trend, we don't know yet, but it's worth discussing, and we're doing it. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Minority representation in the nation's newspaper newsrooms is up slightly from a year ago, and or from the previous year, I should say, according to a recent census. We're talking about that, why it matters, and just the, in general, issues of diversity in the newsroom with Hemant Shaw, a journalism professor and current director of the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Well, Professor, we've been focused on communities of color in our discussion so far. Something else that was revealed in the survey said that 63% of the news organizations which participated said that one of their top three editors was a woman. So perhaps women are doing a little better in journalism these days. Would you say that?
It seems that's the case. Yes. When ASNE started its diversity initiatives, it was primarily focused on racial and ethnic minorities. That was the rationale behind the equivalency goal. But I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but there was a policy shift, and they started to keep track in their newsroom census exercise year by year. They started to keep track of women in the newsroom, too. And they break that down by positions in the data that they collect of where, you know, what type of jobs that women and minorities have. And yes, you're right. The latest census did show that there was an increase, quite a significant increase in the number of women in decision-making positions.
Now, we've been talking about the print journalism end of this journalism spectrum. Do we have any information about how some of the other aspects of journalism, broadcast, for example, or even online, which is certainly seems to be a growth area, even though it doesn't make much money. Do we know if there are similar trends at work there?
Yeah, great question. The RTDNA is the broadcasting equivalent of ASNE. Also does an annual census. Now, I'm not sure exactly when they started. I don't think they started as far back as 1978, but they do keep a census. Their figures show last year in their last census that at TV stations that are members of that organization, there was about 21% of the workforce in TV news was minorities. And in radio, it's something like 11%.
Interesting. So TV much better at diversity mm-hmm. than the newspapers, and yeah. way better than radio.
Yeah.
Can we speculate on why that is?
Yeah, I can speculate. I mean, I don't know exactly why, but I think one of the reasons that TV is so high is that when we look at the figures of where this diversity is coming, it's usually in the reporters and anchors, so on-air people. Now, I can be a slightly skeptical, I guess, and cynical and say that, well, it's the TV is more diverse because they like to show that they're more diverse by putting people on the air who are reporters of color. So that particular segment of their workforce, on-air people, that's where the diversity is.
Mm-hmm. There was a peak in a minority representation in the newsrooms in 2006, and then we saw a drop after that. Why do you think that happened?
Good question. I don't really know. I think that it might be that there was shifts in demographics. There was the turmoil in the newspaper industry, a lot of layoffs that we alluded to earlier, and a lot of those layoffs may have been minority reporters. There was some anecdotal sort of information during that time period that actually what we call the ethnic minority press had actually been picking up a lot of those reporters of color who were being laid off or leaving the industry, the mainstream newspaper industry.
Let's take a caller. Victor is with us from Milwaukee this morning. Victor, hello.
Hello, good morning. Two of my concerns are on the end of it is recruitment. How well is the media career field being recruited as far as high school and college? And that's probably one of the reasons is they realize the job trends are not that well, so they're not going to have a big interest in pursuing degrees and education toward that field. My other concern is, I'm going to address what the first caller or whoever was, Peter. He mentioned he doesn't care about diversity. I have to disagree and say it matters much. It matters profoundly. Because if you don't have diversity in whatever level, reporting, editorial, executive, there's a tendency of promoting stereotypes in the media, regardless if it's on the internet, television, radio. If you had that diversity, it'll minimize just propagation of a stereotype. Because let's face it, a lot of people think the news is the gospel, and they believe what they read or hear. So it does matter.
Mm-hmm. Victor, thanks for the call. A couple of great points there, Professor. Why don't we take the recruitment one first? How much recruiting is actually being done? And that would the recruiting out of high school, for example, would be done by the colleges and the journalism programs. Recruiting, of course, out of colleges would be from the industry itself. How are we doing on recruiting people into this industry?
Yeah, I think probably not as good as we should be doing, to be quite honest. Journalism schools across the country are not very diverse as a whole. There are some journalism schools doing a really good job of recruiting minority students. But across the board, the number is around 12 to 15% of journalism majors across the country who are students of color. That's one thing. Another is that in terms of the newspapers recruiting out of colleges, again, there are very few colleges actually that, or I should say, journalism schools that have a consistent have been consistently tied to the industry in terms of recruiting fairs and so forth. So I think it's kind of a sporadic effort. The newspaper industry itself, I think, is doing trying to do a good job, but it's oftentimes the journalism schools don't have the resources or the wherewithal to participate fully within that recruitment process.
And isn't it true that there are, you know, journalism programs at the university levels are also facing some numbers issues in terms of the numbers of students coming in, but also programs being dropped or diminished as university budgets tighten? It seems like if it's not one of the STEM subjects, it's really hard to get funding these days.
True. That's there's no doubt about that either. I mean, what we see in a lot of universities across the country, journalism and communication programs being merged together. So what used to be a journalism program with X amount of resources all of a sudden has to share those resources with other kinds of communication disciplines as well. So that means that the journalism parts of the program are weakened, and the training may also then suffer, and those students aren't as well prepared, perhaps, to go into the industry. I'll just put in a plug for my own department, and we're doing a wonderful job of training in the core fundamentals still, and we have a wonderful placement record. So we're not under threat in that sense. But we're very vigilant about trying to maintain our strength and respond to the challenges of the current situation in terms of the economy, in terms of the field itself. But we're doing a good job.
It's probably a little different being at a Big Ten university as opposed to being at, say, a small public liberal arts college in a smaller community, in terms of how many different programs can actually be offered on a campus, too, I would say.
I think that's true, right. Yeah, I think being here at Wisconsin, we have not only do we have many other kind of connections to departments on campus that also help our help in the training of our the liberal arts training of our journalism students, but we have a great alumni base to draw on as a resource, and that really helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Victor's other comment, he was responding to Peter's Facebook comment about really not caring, who the journalist was, as long as the article was accurate and well-written. Victor was very forcefully making the point that it does matter. And he brought up the problem of racial stereotyping in the news. And there have been a number of examples of this kind of reporting recently. There was a... There was a headline that upset many Asian Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times ran a headline that said, "Fright 214 after an Asiana airline crash in California." And there were, there was a suggestion that more Asian Americans in the newsroom would have prevented that kind of headline. The Stephen A. Smith comments on ESPN and how that was handled in the aftermath would be examples, perhaps, of what Victor was talking about.
Yeah. That's a really, really excellent point. So, first of all, let me just give you just a bit of background about what the research shows about the connection between diversity in the newsroom and the quality of news. So most of the research indicates that if you have a more diverse newsroom, the news that's produced by that newsroom is likely to have fewer stereotypes. And what I mean by that is the egregious stereotypes, like the kinds that you mentioned. Fright 214 and another one related to Asian Americans was the headline "Chink in the Armor" and a sports and an ESPN website, and those kind of things. Those kinds of stereotypes practically disappear. That's not to say that there still isn't some kinds of systematic biases that, that appear in terms of what kinds of the topics that are covered, or occasionally the language that might be used to refer to a group or to an individual. But if you diversify the newsroom, the major stereotypes tend to diminish. And part of the reason they do is because there is accountability. If you have persons of color in the newsroom, they will police their peers, you know, so to speak. They will say, well, this is not an appropriate use of the language, or this is not a good picture to put with that story. And so diversity in the newsroom does matter. I agree with that last caller. I think it's very important to recognize. There's one other study I'll just mention, and because it refers particularly to Asian Americans, and there was a direct correlation between the number of Asian Americans in a newsroom and the diminishing of stereotypes of the Asian American community. So there's absolutely let me put it more carefully. The research shows pretty well that diversifying the newsroom has an impact, a positive impact, on quality of news in terms of reducing stereotypes.
Well, that seems to be a matter of common sense, in a way. I mean, you know, the research shows it, but I guess if we think about this, it makes perfect sense that that would be the case.
I suppose so, but I mean, it's not a one-to-one correlation. So the studies that I just gave, the examples I gave, were just, you know, looking at the issue of stereotypes. Mm-hmm. There's other dimensions of quality of news that don't seem to be affected as much. For example, the diversity of sources. There's not a clear-cut pattern there that if you diversify the newsroom, you're going to get a diversity of sources that people consult.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is the topics. In other words, if you get a diverse newsroom, you don't automatically get a wider range of topics of importance to your community. It's, you know, at best, the evidence is sort of mixed and unclear, unfortunately, overall. But in this one area that I'm talking about, the reduction of egregious stereotypes, that seems to be a fairly clear conclusion.
Mm-hmm. And the addition of more, perhaps more women in the newsrooms might prevent something such as what happened with ESPN's Stephen A. Smith, whose controversial comments about women provoking domestic violence and other comments made by other commentators, mm-hmm, about gay football player Michael Sam being a distraction. It would stand to reason then that more female or LGBT coworkers might help to diminish some of those types of stereotypes as well.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right.
The phone number to call if you'd like to join us is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. I'm talking with Hemant Shah, journalism professor and current director of the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, about diversity in America's newsrooms. A survey just came out from the American Society of Newspaper Editors, or ASNE. Its 2013 census reported that diversity was up about 1% over 2012, and that was kind of our starting point here. We've been having a discussion about the impact of diversity in newsrooms this hour, wondering what you think about that. And we'll take some more of your phone calls as we move along here this morning. First, though, I want to mention this. We did kind of touch on other media that weren't print journalism. The ASNE survey also took a look at online-only publications like Slate, and they actually did better than newspapers. There, minorities made up 20% of the workforce. Why do you think there's such a big difference between print journalism and the strictly online variety?
That's a good question. I think I think there's just a need for that work. It's an opportunity. There's barriers, as I mentioned, in the traditional media, the newspapers, in particular, and radio. So I think there's an opportunity there for qualified, talented writers and producers of color, and maybe that's what they, you know, they're migrating in those in that direction.
And we did talk some about TV and radio, and interesting statistic there. TV doing a little better, perhaps because, as you point out, television wants to demonstrate their diversity by putting people on camera. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some calls and some more comments and more conversation with Hemant Shah and with you. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Diversity in the newsroom is what we're talking about this hour on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Hemant Shah, journalism professor and current director of the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. We have some callers, Professor, so let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Milwaukee and hear from Bernard. Bernard, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thanks, Mr. Munson and Professor Shah. I was calling, I was just scanning through my radio station, and I came upon your show, and it sounded really interesting. And so I decided to call in and make some comments. My comment is, I've had an article produced January 3rd, 2004 in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel under the Morning Mail. And so listening to this kind of brought some of that back. And I've noticed in certain incidents in the black community where I stayed, when a fire, for instance, and there's so many of us out there looking around, and incidents happen, and the journalists come on the scene and they interview people to see who it is that they would like to get on the camera and comment and maybe say some things that they know about what happened and tell. But I noticed that after they screened a variety of people, they always have the person, the least intelligible person, speak. The person whose appearance is not so professional or regular, and they make that seem as though that's the norm. Their hair is halfway off of their heads, and that's to represent the community always as a whole. And I've noticed that. We noticed that. And so that's why it's so unattractive when the news is on, and we just, like, I don't really want to see that part of the news. I don't really want to look at that because it's embarrassing. It's not a true representation of who we are or of the majority of people that's there. But if you constantly broadcast that, then that matriculates into not just everyone else's opinion and idea, but even the people in the community, you know. And so I'm just, as far as diversity in any workplace, especially media, of course, it's going to enhance the quality. It's going to, and as a comment was spoken, it's like a policing, or even if it's, I don't even think that might be the proper term, but it's more of a, you get to know more. Those who live on mountains can't appreciate the ground. So it's hard to gauge something that you've not been a part of, or there's no influence around you in.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, thanks for the call. Professor?
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's true that if you diversify any workplace, the quality of your product, let's say, is likely to improve. So yes, I think we're all on the same page there. The example that the caller Bernard gave us about screening for when TV stations go out on site for news. There may be some truth to that. I don't know that it's any conscious kind of effort on the part of reporters to present a community in a particular way. I think there's just professional sort of norms in place in newsrooms that, you know, this is what makes a good visual, or this is what makes a good compelling story, or this is what makes a good narrative, whatever it might be. And those kinds of norms are internalized by when one joins a news organization. They learn the ropes, so to speak. So that might be part more of an explanation than an attempt to conscious attempt to portray any community in a negative light.
Well, maybe there are the three C's at work here, color, conflict, and controversy. You look for the most colorful person who will give you the most controversial statement about a conflict,
yeah.
Because that's what sells ads, that's what sells paper, is this person against that person.
Yeah. Well, that's quite likely, and I would also suggest that color is partly kind of in interweave there, so to speak, that conflict, controversy, and color, an underlying kind of value is also how we think about communities that are different from us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's involved there as well.
800-642-1234 is the number to call. Bernard, thanks for your call. Let's go next to Pam, who is also in Milwaukee. Pam, thanks for joining us.
I just wanted to say that diversity is a really generic term. I mean, the problem is the connection these journalists have with the communities they're covering. Have they actually walked in the shoes of the communities they're covering? You can have a minority who's never walked in those shoes. And so when you're getting into these basic CCCs and all this other stuff, well, they're not getting down to the really, really, really deep issues because they don't know how to. And when you do, you're certainly going to find some triple Cs. But diversity, for diversity's sake, is not a be-all, end-all, and cure-all for the lack of really in-depth journalism on limited budgets.
Professor?
Yeah. This is true. I couldn't agree with the speaker more. I think this is part of the explanation earlier when I talked about that of the connection between diversifying a newsroom and the quality of the product. The reason it's not always a clear-cut connection is because of what the speaker mentioned, and that is that a person of color, just because he or she is a person of color, may not be familiar with the communities that they're reporting. That's the case. So diversity is a good goal. It's a good thing to do in your newsroom because there is some evidence suggesting that it improves quality of coverage, but it's not an automatic thing. More important, as the caller alludes to, is that the journalists know their community, and there have been efforts in newspapers across the country to promote this idea. I'll just give you one example. I was involved several years ago in a project on the West Coast in Oakland, California, called Total Community Coverage. And the idea was that the journalists at the newspaper, regardless of their race or gender, their assignment was to regularly go into their communities that they report on and learn about various things of the community, about the demographics, the businesses, the political history, then learn about the nonprofits and their work and so forth. So really learn their community. They've walked the beat and then see what happens. And what happened was that the stories became better. You know, the stories were on the indicators that the newspaper was interested in, the stories improved. So I couldn't agree more with the caller that diversity in itself is not an end-all, but it's an important, I think it's a piece of the solution. It's a part of the solution in terms of how do we have better journalism for our society.
Mm-hmm. What about when crime reporting makes a point to list the race of crime victims or people who have been arrested, not just mm-hmm. suspects at large? Does this tend to enforce stereotypes as well?
I guess I think it can. It depends on how it's done. This is a really tricky question for me I've talked to reporters about this too and editors about this. It's a very tricky question. I mean, on the one hand, you want to give some accurate information about perpetrators of crime. On the other hand, you don't necessarily want to include descriptions that may promote a particular type of stereotype. So it's a tricky question. I'm not sure what the solution is there. I guess my personal instinct would be to err on the side of including accurate facts, regardless of what what the implications are for stereotypes if there is some danger to the imminent danger to the community involved. Now, some newspapers, some television stations have made some specific policies that they would never mention race, or they would always mention race on the other end of it. But there doesn't seem to be a consistent policy solution to this.
Mm-hmm. We have an email from Dave in Reedstown who writes, "It makes little difference what color or sex the reporters are when most mainstream news entities simply regurgitate the talking points handed them by Washington, Wall Street, and the Pentagon." People have gotten a little bit cynical about journalism because we've seen so much of it kind of devolve into people shouting at each other. Hmm. Wouldn't you agree, Professor?
I suppose that's true at a national level. I think that there may be some truth to that. Locally, maybe not as much, although I guess an argument could be made at a local level, too. I think what's important, an important trend now is the revival, in some sense, of really good investigative journalism that doesn't regurgitate Washington and Pentagon talking points. So, mm-hmm. So I think that's there's a light, a bright light there in the field. Reflected by the rise of investigative journalism. Yeah,
you just a few moments ago you referred to beat reporting. Mm-hmm. In a time when newsrooms often face shrinking resources, is diversity mm-hmm. and the kind of beat reporting you just described a luxury that that papers can actually still afford?
I don't think. I think that's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. I think there's some newspapers who are doing a great job in terms of dedicating resources, making a point of dedicating resources to investigative journalism. The Journal Sentinel in Milwaukee, for example. But it's a challenge. No, you're right. Newspapers are financially. At least some, not all, but some are struggling, and the thing that they have to sacrifice often is that enterprise reporting, that investigative reporting. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. A lot of general assignment reporters these days having to kind of be a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We just had news today that mm-hmm. That journal communications is merging with Scripps, and they're splitting off their newspaper or their newspaper operations from broadcast as these two companies merge. Mm-hmm. This is certainly not the first time that this sort of thing has happened in the United States. Your experience, how does this have any effect? Does it have any effect? And if so, what effect does this have on diversity in the newsroom?
Yeah. I don't know what effects it will have on diversity in the newsroom. I think it'll have some effect on the ways that these two new corporations are going to work in terms of trying to sort out what they're going to emphasize and how they're going to marshal their resources, but I don't know. There's no real evidence that consolidation or mergers or this kind of spin-off kind of patterns, what kind of impact it has on diversity per se. So we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, you still have time to get in before we close the program. 800-642-1234. What is your perception of diversity in the media? Are you seeing more diversity in your preferred media sources? And does that matter to you? We've had several people email in or comment on Facebook that it doesn't really matter. So why or why not? Why does it matter? Why doesn't it matter? And do you think it's good news that diversity actually increased in 2013? 800-642-1234. We touched on this earlier, but I want to come back to it because I think it's an important point. A writer for The Atlantic last year concluded from interviews with many editors and organizations that minorities in the journalism industry were a casualty of the general troubles faced by journalism in recent decades. They're often more vulnerable to firing decisions based on seniority. We really haven't talked about that. And more likely to take buyouts when, say, the Washington Post starts to look shaky. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Partly for one of the things I had said earlier was that there's a glass ceiling of sorts, right? So that minority reporters tend to leave the profession or leave the profession rather than stick it out in the hopes of a promotion or whatever it might be. So they don't get seniority, and oftentimes they are the first to be fired. So during that period since from 2006 onward, where there was a decrease in the number of minorities in newsroom, one of the things I mentioned was that they were the ones being laid off during that period. So yeah, that does make sense to me that minorities are first fired and often take those buyouts.
Mm-hmm. And now the ASNE census doesn't count representation of religious minorities or LGBT minorities. Do you think these should be included in future surveys in the measure of diversity, or does that kind of dilute what the original intent of the census was?
Well, there's two different questions there. I think it would be valuable, yes, to have a census of those. Demographics as well. I mean, it may be more difficult, I suppose, more sensitive in some ways, perhaps. But in terms of the dilution, that's also true. I mean, the goal of ASNE in 1978 was clearly on racial and ethnic diversity in the newsroom. And then several years later, they included gender. Now, ASNE may in the future decide that diversity means more than gender and race. And that would be, personally for me, that'd be great. I would like to see newsrooms diverse as possible across the board. Whether or not they will, it's a hard question, because even coming up with a policy to track race for ASNE was a tough road to hoe. I mean, the ASNE was founded in 1922, and they didn't even talk about race until 1978. So if they do, great. I don't know if they will anytime soon, but if they do, it would be a good thing, I think.
Are there other measures of diversity that we should also be talking about? I mean, we've talked specifically just about the numbers of people in the field. Are there other ways to look at this that would be beneficial as well?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but I mean, race, class, gender, geographical diversity, age diversity, those kinds of things are often talked about as important aspects of the kind of differences we might see in a newsroom, and differences that might result in perspectives that are brought to the table.
Okay. Oh, and just maybe a little forecasting here. Do you think the 2013 1% increase was a blip, or is this a trend?
Let me put it this way. I hope it's a trend.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to wait until next year when the next survey comes out, and then maybe you can come back on and we can talk about it again.
Sure. I'd love to.
Thank you very much, Professor. Really appreciate your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Hemant Shah is a journalism professor and current director of the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communications. He joined me in our studios in Madison this morning. If you want to hear this program again, you can listen to it online. Go to WPR.org, and you can find all of the shows that we produce on the Ideas Network available for download. Coming up tomorrow at this time, it's the Week in Review. We'll talk to a pair of guests of opposing political perspectives about their take on the week's top state and national headlines. This hour of programming was produced by Christy Taylor, on-air production handled by Robin Cherry, and Robin Cherry also did an outstanding job of directing. I'm John Munson, and for Joy Cardine, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.